We open our Bibles together, please, in the book of John's Gospel in chapter 3, third chapter of the book of John's Gospel, commencing to read at the first verse of this passage of God's Word, a familiar passage of God's infallible truth. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and commencing to read at verse number 1, let's follow the reading of God's truth this evening. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, this is thy word, and you've given it to us to preach. And Lord, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that you'll help me to do that. Lord, I pray that in all things that the Lord Jesus might have a preeminence tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll turn every eye to the Savior, that, Lord, we might behold him. We know, Lord, that the people were exhorted by John many years ago, Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. And tonight we pray that men and women might see Jesus, because he alone is the answer to their needs and to their soul situation. Bless us in everything we do this night, and as we meditate upon thy word, just open hearts to receive it, Lord, and we pray that by thy Holy Spirit light it upon hearts and open up their eyes that they might see Jesus, the blessed Son of God. We ask this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 3, 4, and 5, we see three different individuals. First of all, in chapter 3, we see a religious wreck. A man, indeed, that was full of religion, and yet he knew nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, we read about a moral wreck. It was the woman of Samaria, and indeed she was full of iniquity. She knew nothing of the saving grace of God in her life. When you come to chapter 5, you find there's a woman here, or there's a man here, and he is a physical wreck. And he is filled with misery because he is at a pool, and yet there is nothing, absolutely nothing, he is able to do for himself. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can change this man's life, just as only the Lord Jesus could change this woman's life of chapter 4, and only the Lord Jesus Christ could change Nicodemus's life too. I want us this evening to look at the first of those three people. I want us to think of this religious wreck, this man that was full of religion and yet he was lost. It's a story that everyone knows, I believe, in this, perhaps in this service tonight, is the story of Nicodemus. You know, whenever I was thinking about this, J.C. Ryle, the great English preacher, said that John 3 is one of the most important passages in the whole of the Bible. Indeed, it is called, John 3:16, is called the Gospel in a nutshell. And so often we come to John 3:16, and yet we forget the context in which John 3:16 is actually set. Because, my friend, before you come to the diamond of John 3:16, that is perhaps the most loved and best known verse in all of the Scripture, you need to see it in its backcloth, in its context, and that is the story of Nicodemus. Because it is in the backcloth of Nicodemus coming to Jesus at this great gospel verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is in that backcloth of Nicodemus coming to Christ that you and I have this familiar verse of God's precious and holy truth. And I just ask you to think of one thought. You know what a difference a day makes. My friend, what a difference a day can make in any person's life. I think of a man that was, the doctor visited the other day and he told him he had 6 months to live, for he was dying of cancer. What a day, what a difference that day made. What a difference, my friend, that one conversation made to that man to realize that he wasn't long on this earth, my friend, he hadn't long to go. But my, what a difference a day made in the life of Nicodemus, because let me tell you this, little did Nicodemus know that he set out that night to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and to pour out his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Little did he know the momentous change that would happen in his life, that he would never, ever be the same again, not in time and certainly not in eternity, because his life was changed completely by the visit to the Son of God. And little did Nicodemus know what a change that this visitation to the blessed Savior would make in his life. And little did he know that you and I would be reading about it in Macrophel tonight. The story of his visit one night to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what a difference your visit to the Savior could make tonight. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, if you meet him and you trust in him as your Savior, your life will be changed. I think of a man this afternoon I visited in the hospital. And I tried to speak to this man so many times about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friend, no matter how often I spoke to him about his need of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would agree with you. He knew what you were saying was true, and yet he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Matter of fact, in one of our congregations, whenever the bus to bring the children into the Sunday school was, somebody was needed to drive the bus, this unsaved man said, "But nobody else would do it." He says, "I'll do it." And for years he drove the children in on a Sunday school bus to hear the new good news of the gospel, and yet when he was never saved, he never knew anything of the saving grace and of God in his life. But I want to tell you good news this afternoon. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, I opened the Bible. This Bible is in the pulpit tonight. And I told him the good news of the gospel, and I took him to John 3:16. And praise God, he received Jesus Christ as a Savior. And he was gloriously saved by the grace of God. You know, my friend, the change that the Lord made in that man's life? He left his bed where he was weak in his bed, and he came up to the family circle that was sitting up in the visitor's room, and he came up and told each one of them that he could see if he'd give his heart to Christ. And he said to his daughter, he said, go home and tell the grandchildren that Granda's got saved, because they were constantly at me saying, Granda, you need Jesus. And he says, I want you to go home and tell them Granda's got saved. My friend, what a change the Lord Jesus can make whenever he meets a man. And whenever a sinner comes to Christ, and that's the heart of the story, my friend, because there's a man that the Bible says was Nicodemus, and you and I, 2,000 years later, are reading about his visitation to the Lord Jesus Christ that night, the night that the Lord saved and the Lord changed. You say, did he get saved? Yes, he did. He did. We read this morning the story of a young man. He was a rich young ruler, and he came to the Lord Jesus. And he had got a burdened heart because he had got everything that money could buy, and yet he had nothing in his soul. And he realized that there was an eternity out there. He realized that there was a life after this life. And so he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ in respect to the Son of God. And he said to him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus looked at that young man, and he realized he was a clean living young man. Because when the Lord Jesus says, what does it say in the law? And he told him what it said in the law. And this young man turned to Christ and he said to him, all these things have I observed from my youth up. The Lord Jesus didn't say, young man, that's not true. Because my friend, let me tell you, all the things that he said in the commandments that he mentioned were in man's relationship to man. And he could see as far as his fellow man was concerned. He said, listen, all these things have I observed from my youth up. And Jesus didn't say, young man, that's not true. Because, friend, it was. Because as far as his fellow man was concerned, this young man lived a clean life. As far as his fellow man was concerned, his relationship with his fellow man was a sweet relationship. He did not kill. He did not steal. He did not commit adultery. He did not defraud. He did none of those things. And he said, all of these have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, listen, young man. He says, one thing I lack is, your relationship with your fellow man's right, but your relationship with God's not. You see, my friend, the commandments the young man mentioned were those in his relationship to man, not in his relationship to God. And so the Lord Jesus looked at that young man and he said, young man, one thing thou lackest. You see, your relationship with man is correct, but your relationship with God is not. You're right with man, but you're not right with God. Maybe there's someone listening to my voice on the internet tonight. Maybe there's someone listening here in the upstairs in the gallery, downstairs, and listen, as far as you're concerned, friend, you're walking the clean side of the road. You are trying to do everything as far as the law is concerned. And you can say, preacher, I have tried to walk straight. And as far as man is concerned, maybe they couldn't even point a finger at you, because that's exactly what you have done. And you're right with man, but you're not right with God. Friend, let me tell you, then you're lost and on your way to hell. Because the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. You see, you've met man. You've already met man, and your relationship to him is all right, but you're going to meet God, and your relationship with him is wrong. And friend, that's the only thing that's going to count tonight. I believe that when your relationship with God is right, then God will put the other relationships right as well. But I tell you this before God, you could have every relationship right with man, and if your soul is not saved, you're a candidate for hell, and you're lost for all eternity. And you'll die without Christ, and you'll meet God to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. What an awful tragedy. I want us to think this evening about this man. I want us to think, first of all, his mention. There are three things that are mentioned about this man. First of all, the first thing that was mentioned, he was a Pharisee. In other words, here was a man, and as far as he was concerned, he was a member of a religious grouping that was one of the most strictest living people as far as man is concerned. These Pharisees, they looked upon themselves as not only exponents, but also guardians of the written and the oral law of God. in their beliefs. There were some of the most conservative people. In the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were two distinct groupings. You see, on the one hand, there were Pharisees, and on the other hand, there were Sadducees. The Sadducees were people who didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that there was a day of resurrection, that the body would be resurrected again. But the Pharisees did. And there were many arguments between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Here was a man, and as far as his externals were concerned, in other words, as far as his rituals were concerned, as far as religious acts were concerned, here was a man that was strict in his Pharisaical religion. In other words, he outwardly conformed to the law. And yet here was a man in his Pharisaical living, friend. He was self-righteous. He was building his foundation upon good works. He was religious, but he was lost. And God knows tonight that Ulster's filled with those people. Because they're filled with church-going people who are religious. And they attend their place of worship, and they go through the religious exercises. And friend, they read their prayers, and they do all of those things. And as far as religion is concerned, as far as the externals are concerned, and many of them live clean living lives as far as the standards of man are concerned. And yet God does not look only in the outward appearance. God searches the heart, and their heart's not right with God. And so the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. But you know also it said, not only was he a Pharisee, it says secondly, he was a ruler of the Jews. And that means that he was a member of the religious grouping of the Sanhedrin. It was a grouping of people between 70 and 72 members. It was composed of chief priests. It was composed of scribes or lawyers. It was composed of the elders. And we find that the Sanhedrin, whilst it was true that the Roman authorities controlled the civil government, the Sanhedrin controlled the religious government. And he was not only an ordinary Pharisee, the Bible says, he was a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was a person in high position in the religious society. He was in a place of importance in the Jewish community. The Word of God says he was a ruler of the Jews. And then there was one other thing that was mentioned, because if you go on down the chapter, in verse number 10 it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, art not thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? So the Word of God tells us he's a master of Israel. What does that mean? He means he was a teacher. He was one that not only was a member of the Sanhedrin, the religious authority. He was not only a Pharisee by his religion, my friend. He was a master of Israel. He was a teacher. He was an esteemed teacher of the people in the religious field. And yet, as far as spiritual things were concerned, he was devoid of spiritual knowledge. Nicodemus, in other words, was a man of power. He was a man of prestige. He was a man of position. He was a man of great spiritual influence as far as his fellow man was concerned. And yet, my friends, he was lost. Before we move away from the first dimension of Nicodemus, can I say something here? Men and women have prayed around with this idea, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And there are some people, you know, try to say that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was a coward. Now maybe he was. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, there are some people listening to my voice tonight and you'd love to be saved, but you're afraid. You're afraid of a family. You're afraid of your friends. You're afraid of your girlfriend. You're afraid of your boyfriend. You're afraid of your fellow workers. You're afraid of going into work tomorrow and saying, listen, you know, I've been saved in the meeting last night. And yet, you know, my friend, God says, fear God. And whenever the body is finished with the lies and the dust, he can cast the soul into hell. I say unto you, says Jesus, I say unto you, fear God. And yet the fear of man brings a snare. And there are those who suggest that this aged rabbi, Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus because he was a coward. Maybe so, friend, but let me ask you a question. When did you come to Jesus? When did you come to Jesus? You see, before you judge Nicodemus and point out the fact that he came by night, what about you? Have you ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever received him as the blessed Son of God? And actually, it's an actual fact, friend. Listen, do you know this, that whenever you think about those who come to Christ, most people who come to Jesus do come by night. An amazing thing. They come in the night time. But let me tell you this, the fact is not that he came to Jesus by night, friend. The fact is he came to Jesus at all. Thank God he came. And you know, people start to dwell on the incidentals of the story. Friend, let me tell you, don't dwell on the incidentals that he came by night. Dwell on the substance of the story. He came to Jesus! He had a burden of soul! Don't criticize the time, friend! Let me give you another suggestion why he came at night, friend. Listen, I believe he could have come to Jesus by night because he couldn't wait in the morning. He couldn't wait in the morning. Because I'll tell you, God works in hearts, and I'll tell you this, they can't wait for the next service. They can't wait for the next time to meet somebody. They just have got a call to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But praise God, he did come. He came to Jesus. That's what it says in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Friend, let me take a step further. Not only his mention, notice his mistakes. Because remember who he was here. Here was a strict religious Pharisee. Here was not only a strict living religious Pharisee, a ritualistic Pharisee, but he was a ruler of the Pharisees. And not only that, friend, was he a ruler of the Pharisees, he was a teacher in the religious field. And so therefore I want you to notice, friend, he comes with respect to the master, because let me tell you this, I believe he's coming with a burdened heart. Notice it says, verse 2, he came to Jesus by night and he said unto him, Rabbi, teacher. He acknowledged Jesus Christ to be a teacher. And not only that he was a teacher, friend, he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. But do you notice the mistakes, friend? This man was in a very serious mission, and he grants the due respect to the blessed Son of God, and yet with all the respect that was in his heart for the blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself, friend, he failed to recognize who Jesus really was. Let me show you. Here we find, first of all, notice just before we look at that, he says, Rabbi, we know. It's interesting, he says, we know, because he was there on his own. But friend, let me tell you, here was a man that was concerned, and yet he was trying to hide behind others. He wasn't speaking personally here, he tried to hide behind others. And he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, as if he was speaking on behalf of others. No, friend, he wasn't speaking on behalf of others. He had got a yearning, broken heart, and there was a conviction in his heart, there was a concern in his soul, but he was hiding behind we instead of I. Let me tell you, friend, God doesn't save people in crowds. He saves you individually. And I tell you, you'll never be saved until, first of all, you come before him and admit that you're a sinner. It's not my brother, my sister, it's me, dear Lord. And friend, you've got to come personally. You've got to admit your sinnerhood before God and acknowledge that you're lost and undone and on your way to hell. And you're without hope. But you notice his mistakes. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. In other words, Lord, you're a teacher sent from God. Listen, wrong. Wrong. Listen carefully, friend. Here's the difference. Here's the mistake he made. He said, thou art a teacher come from God. No, friend. He was God who came to teach. There's the difference. He said, thou art a teacher that's come from God. But he was God, the very God, who came to teach man the way of salvation and bring them to himself. And so with all his religious knowledge, he notices mistakes. He doesn't know who Jesus Christ is. For Jesus came to save, not to inform, not to educate. I love the old chorus that said, he did not come to judge the world, he did not come to blame, he did not only come to seek, but it was to save. He came. And here's this religious man, friend, and let me tell you, he's not mocking Jesus. I believe he's coming with an earnest heart before the blessed Son of God, and I believe this aged rabbi comes to the Savior. And yet, with all his religious knowledge, friend, he's dark, he's blind concerning spiritual things. And he said, thou art the teacher come from God. No, friend, he was God who came to teach. And then he said this. He says, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Wrong. Let me tell you what the difference is, friend. Listen. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. Listen. His name is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. But all Nicodemus could say is, listen, you're doing those miracles because God's with you. No, friend. He was God. He is God. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. But notice what the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't enter into a long theological discussion with Nicodemus at this moment. The Lord Jesus Christ goes to the heart of the problem, because his problem was the heart. In verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, he said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, except a man, remember Nicodemus says we, and Jesus Christ is making it personal. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you go down to verse number 7, he says, marvel not that I said unto thee. Nicodemus says we, Jesus says thee. He said, ye must be born again. Remember, you're in this congregation tonight, and you think about others and you say, listen, my, don't they need it? I remember some time a gospel mission being held. A very noted character in the district that saved in the mission. And the pastor went out to visit in the congregation a person who was ill, and as he visited in this home, he was telling about the news of how this person had come to Christ. And this lady was sitting there. And my, she was sort of getting agitated as the preacher talked about this person coming to Christ, this well-known sinner. And all the lady could say to him was this, well, pastor, of course, didn't he need it? He said, I looked her straight between the eyes, and he said, madam, and so do you. So do you. The Lord Jesus said to him, he said, listen, except a man be born again. Notice it says, he cannot see. In verse number 5, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot comprehend, he cannot understand the things of the kingdom of God until they're born again. You see, Nicodemus was religious, but he wasn't righteous. There's many tonight, and they're immersed in religion and denomination. and they're as lost as a sinner can be, friend, and hell will find them. There's another religious Pharisee, his name was Saul of Tarsus, and when the Lord Jesus met him on that Damascus road, the Lord Jesus said to him, he said, "Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you?" And friend, he knew religion, but he didn't know righteousness. Yes, he knew the law, but he didn't know the Lord. And maybe there's someone in here tonight in this service, and as you're listening to my voice, friend, listen, you're in the church physically, but you're not in Christ. You're in the church, but you're not in Christ. You're in the family, as far as your natural family's concerned. But listen, you're not in the family of God. You're a member of the congregation, friend, but you've never become a Christian. That's where Credit was. He was in the church, but he wasn't in Christ. He was doing work for the church. He was driving the bus. But he wasn't in Christ. And maybe there's people here, friend. Listen, before you go to bed at night, you fall on your knees and you pray the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps you've recited and from your childhood. Yes, maybe you've recited the creed that you learned at school. Or maybe for someone here, maybe even take communion. Maybe you've been baptized and you boast about all of these things. And maybe you can answer all the questions. But are you someone that Jesus talked about when he said this? "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart's far from me." You're honoring him with your lips, friend. And maybe it's possible you could sing all the songs. Maybe as I was sitting down at the piano, maybe you joined in, and I trust as you listened to the old gospel songs, maybe it brought you back to an earlier time in your life. And you remember the hymns that were sung in your childhood, and you could sing them. But friend, you can sing them from the lips, but not the heart. And you can stand up, and you can stand with the congregation. "And this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." What a tragedy. Because you see, man in his sin, friend, is blind, and he will not see the kingdom of God. And man in his sin is excluded, he's outside of Christ, and he will not enter into the kingdom of God. Because except the man be born again, he cannot see. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A person put it like this. He says, you know, a deaf man cannot enjoy a symphony. Or a blind man could never enjoy a sunset. And except you're born again, friend, you'll never see the kingdom of God. His mistake. But quickly, notice his marvel. In verse number 7, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said to Nicodemus, he said, "Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again." Because let's be honest, here was a man and he was a teacher. And yet he didn't understand. He did not understand that he had a spiritual ignorance that abounded in his heart. And maybe you're here tonight, you can't take this new birth business in. Because you're spiritually blind. You cannot understand it. You cannot see. And maybe, my friend, you're mad whenever people ask you, "Are you born again?" Maybe you get angry about this new birth business. Let me say something to you tonight. If you want to get angry about this birth business, I'll tell you what you should get very angry about. You should be angry about your first birth. Not be angry about the second birth, because let me tell you, it was the first birth that got you into trouble. It's the second birth that gets you out of it. You're already in the mess. Because the first birth, my friend, the Word of God says, as in Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin, and death hath passed upon all men. You're already in the mess. And if you want to get hot under the collar about your birth, then think about the first one. Because the second birth's the only thing that'll get you out of it. And yet whenever you ask somebody about the new birth, boy, they get under hot under the cover. How dare you talk to me about my need of new birth? Let me tell you, friend, that's the only answer to your sin. You know, Nicodemus, he marveled. And I want you to notice what he said. Look at verse number 4. He said, Nicodemus said unto Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Here's the teacher. Here's this Bible teacher. And he said, but Jesus, how can he be born when he's old? And here's his blindness then. Listen, here's his ignorance. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's how dark he was. Do I have to go into my mother's womb a second time to get a second birth? All he could think about was the natural birth. All he could think about was but natural, because you see, friend, that was the old nature. He was corrupt by the old nature. Oh, tonight, oh, that God would open your eyes and you might realize, friend, how so important it is about the new birth. A professor was taken out by an old man in a boat one day. As this professor was traveling down on this little old decrepit dingy bit of a ferry or boat, and he's going down, the old professor turned to the old boatman, and it was just an old simpleton, and he said to the boatman, he says, tell me this, he says, sir, do you know anything about astronomy? No, boy looked at him, he said, I'm sorry, sir, you're talking way over my head. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, he says, look, I tell you, if you don't know anything about astronomy, you've lost a quarter of your life. Because a quarter of your life would be taken up with astronomy, and you've missed it all. Well, he says, I suppose I have. He says, let me ask you a question. He says, tell me, do you know anything about botany? The old boy looked at him, and he says to him, sir, what are you talking about? Botany? He says, I haven't a clue. Oh, he says, what did I tell you, sir? If you don't know anything about botany, you've lost another half of your life, or another quarter of your life, because what I tell you? He says, I want to tell you that your life, look at all the flowers and all the beauty of creation around. My, you've missed a quarter of your life. Now, boy, he was listening to this poem. He didn't realize it was coming up to me. The wee dingy, decrepit boat that just banged into a lock. And that boat began to sink. And the old professor started to get alarmed, and the old boy says to me, he says, tell me this, professor, do you know anything about swimming? The professor says, no. He says, well, you've lost all your life. And there's things that don't matter tonight. Let me tell you, there's things you can do without. But you can't do without Jesus. You can't do without Jesus. You can go to heaven without education, friend. And many a man, let me tell you, hasn't been able to read. And I think of a man, whenever I went to Belfast first, and in the meetings, he used to stand and he used to hold the hymn book up. He knew, he remembered from a childhood, whenever he'd come to the old hymns that he knew, and he'd sing up the top of his voice and there wasn't a note in his head. And he was standing when there was a big convention up in Belfast. And this is true. He was standing there singing the top of his voice, and the boy gave him a nudge the next boy beside him. He says, listen, you have the hymn book the wrong way up.
But he's holding it up thinking he, you know, he was putting on the show. But he couldn't read a word. But I tell you this, he knew the Lord. He couldn't read the writing of the book, but that, I tell you, God could read his name in heaven. And friend, you can get to heaven without education. You can get to heaven without scholarship. You can get to heaven without people knowing you're thinking you're something special. You can get to heaven without popularity or fame or prestige or any of those things. But I'll tell you this, you never get to heaven without Jesus. Listen to my man, in God's name, with all your excellence, with all your religion, with all your good works, you're lost. Here's a man, a teacher. And when Jesus talks about the new birth, he says, can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? How can these things be? Get on to verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus, how can these things be? He's as blind as a conqueror. He can't see. And yet he's caught up with the externals. You know, there are some people, they feel the things that they're doing in their lives are hurting them. And then they'll say, well, I'll change it. Maybe it's the booze and it's destroying my body. Or gambling. I'm losing every penny I have. Or smoking is destroying my lungs. And they come to the place where they say, that's not good for me. I have to change. In other words, I'll turn over a new leaf. And I'll give those things up. My friend, let me tell you. There's nothing wrong with that decision. But there's nothing spiritual about it. He's reforming. It's not reformation you need. It's salvation you need. Some years ago, there was a man who got an old man out living out in the countryside. He had a well. He didn't realize that after many years there was poison going into the well. And he drank the water from the well and the poison killed him. He used the water. Another man bought the property, friend. You know what he did? He painted the curb of the well. Because it looked well. And then he did something else. He installed a new bucket. But he forgot about the poison. Friend, let me tell you, you can paint the outside if you want to. You can try to reform your life and say, well, listen, I'll make a few changes here, and I'll live better than I've ever lived before. And surely that's all God wants of me. It's not reformation, man. It's God's salvation. It's born of God. Except the man be born again, born of the Spirit of God. The natural birth got you into the mess that you're in. It's a supernatural birth you need, friend. It's a born of the Spirit of God. It's only God can save you. It's only God can change your life and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he said, I can't understand this. You know what Paul said? He said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It's foolishness. But he said, to them that believe, it's the power of God. Let me tell you, friend, I witnessed the power of God this afternoon. When that dear man that, let me tell you, didn't want to hear you talking about the Lord Jesus, knew the gospel, but didn't want to hear you talking about a personal salvation, when he called on Jesus Christ to save him. And that man who would never speak out, prayed the sinner's prayer in front of his wife and called on God to save him. And then went down to his family and told them that he had received Jesus Christ as Savior and shared the gospel that in just a few moments had received in his heart. You know, you could be a Sunday school teacher. You could be a church member. Art thou a master, a teacher in Israel? And you know not these things? Have you been coming to church in Israel? Yet you're not saved? And if you died this night and without them to God's eternity, you'd be lost. And then the Lord Jesus Christ brought him a message. And that's where you come to verses 14 to 16. Where Jesus told him, listen, as Moses lifted up the serpent, you know, the Lord Jesus brought him to something that he would remember. He knew about the story of Moses. And how that the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and how that those that were bitten would look at that brazen serpent, and those that would look would live. That's what God said. And Jesus said, even as the Son of Man was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he said to him, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, I want to tell you, God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want you to be lost. God doesn't want you to go to hell. But whosoever believeth or trusteth in Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say to me, preacher, before you finish, did he get saved? Doesn't say it in John 3, friend. But he's mentioned again. Go to John chapter 19. And in John chapter 19, it tells us there, the cross, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was lifted up. And it tells us there, if you go to verse number 38, and after this, that's after the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus. You say, but maybe this is a different Nicodemus. No, friends, listen. Which at the first came to Jesus by night. So the Holy Ghost wants you to know that's the very person. And he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight, and they then took the body of Jesus, and they wound him in an enclosure with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And listen to me carefully, friend. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, when he cried, "It is finished," never again did an unholy hand, an unsaved hand, touch Jesus. He was taken down from the cross by his own children, his own people. Nicodemus was saved. And thank God that not only did he come to Jesus by night, but praise God, the miracle of God's grace was wrought in his heart, and he became a new creature in Christ. And he was never the same again. Praise God, if you come to Christ tonight, thank God you go home changed. 1834, a British colony was waiting news from London that they'd been free from slavery. The news was to be brought by a certain ship. The ship and the captain of the ship was entrusted by taking a message to the colony and to tell them what the decision was taken in London concerning their future. As the ship was making its way towards the harbour, a large gathering of people were on the shore, and they watched the ship sail towards the harbour. And the captain, he looked and he could see, as he watched those people, he could see their face was filled with anxiety. Fear was written on their countenance, and they didn't know what the future held. And so therefore, whilst they were waiting for the old ship to come into the harbour, he decided to run up a banner And upon the banner he had one word. And the word was free. You see, when those people on the shore looked on the banner and see and read the word free, the captain could see the people start to dance and shout for joy. They would hug each other and they cried, "Free! Free! Free!" That's all we want to know. Let me tell you, he whom the Son sets free. Free from sin. Free from judgment. Free from hell. Free to live forever. And friend, that's what you can be. If you come to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your words tonight. We thank thee for the blessed freedom of the gospel. We thank thee for the truth that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, tonight maybe there's those that are in this gathering and held the chains of sin. And Lord, perhaps with their hearts that are crying out for freedom. They're bound and fettered and they try to break the chains, but they can't do it. But he whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Father, we bless thee that you can work the miracle of grace in their heart. And you can save them for all eternity. Give them grace to come tonight. Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you, friend? Will you come to Christ? He can set you free. He can cleanse you from your sin. He can make you clean. For except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We sing another verse, sister, we'll play Just As I Am Without One Plea. And if there's one in the service tonight, Father, Mother, Son of God, when you say, "Preacher, I'd love to be saved and know I need Jesus as my Savior," lead me to Christ, preacher. Then, friend, as others are praying for you, as God's people are praying for you, why don't you come? O Lamb of God, I come. If you sing the verse, then just slip that hand above your head, sinner or backslider. But please don't go away without the Lord. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one plea. Is there one in our service tonight and God has spoken to your heart? You realize you need the Lord? You lift that hand right now and look at that desire. Father, Mother, Son, or Daughter, listen, Jesus really can save you tonight and set you free. Is there one, would you lift that hand right now as God speaking to your heart? Is God dealing with your soul? You answer, "I come just as I am and waiting not the final invitation." Just as I am and waiting on. Don't wait a second, friend. Is there someone in the closing moment of this meeting? Just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it. Please don't miss the Lord. Don't miss the Savior. He'll cleanse each spot. Praise God, he can. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one in the closing second? If father, mother, son, or daughter. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of those that are gathered here and they come up into thee. Lord, I pray that not one will leave without you, but this might be the night of salvation. Save the lost. Please, Lord, give the saving grace that they might make their way to the inquiry room. Don't let them go away. Don't let them go into another night. But, Lord Jesus, may this be the night of this, like Nicodemus, may this be the night of salvation. For we pray in Jesus' name.